Good morning, everyone. As I mentioned yesterday morning, I'm actually recording this the night before. Got a doctor's appointment this morning, so I'll be playing this. But I hope everybody is having a good day so far. And today we are in John 8. See, we're still at the temple. Jesus pretty much, well, John wrote a lot about his teachings in and around the temple, it seems. Never really paid that close attention before, but I think he was actually staying in Bethany a lot. As we get further along, I think we'll find that out, particularly when it gets down towards the final week. So here we are in John 8, 41 through 59 is the verses we're going to cover today. And I'll start with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Good to spend in your word and for the knowledge and the and everything that we gain from really taking a close look at the Apostle John's writings of the time he spent with you learning. And we're so thankful for the ability to see your work here on during your time here, and that we can look forward to learning even more going into the future. Thank you, Lord, so much. I praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So just to add a couple of more pictures, though, I thought I would get some real ones of what you see this wall in front of us here. This is what some of that area looks like for real right now. This is that wall, and I thought I would just mention that I'll keep this one for later on when we get towards the end, because this is actually a view of the wall, and you'll notice that gate is actually blocked off. I think that that actual gate is actually built later on. I think it's a couple hundred years after Christ, but it's a general area called the Golden Gate, and at it's viewed here from the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed. So we'll keep that one for future use. But here we are today. And here he's going to, interesting passage here towards the end of John. He's again still dealing with some of the Pharisees and the Jews who just don't believe that he is who he says he is. And I kind of enabled this spiritual blindness because it he gets pretty harsh on them. And I'll point out a few things that other verses that kind of reflects on this. Start reading in 41 is where we left off. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Well, it's probably not the greatest thing that they should have said, because we know that Jesus Father is God, and that so Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And this brought up went to Galatians 4:4 for some insight on the thought pattern here. And again, Galatians 4:4, this is from Paul, and that, we know that he was a trained Pharisee. So he has some thoughts in this area that I thought were appropriate. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And notice here where it says the law. And being that Paul was a Pharisee, I would assume that these people that Jesus is talking to were also Pharisees, that they would be trained very similar. Actually, Paul's teaching was under one of the masters at the time, Gamaliel, and it was right about this same time frame that Jesus was having his ministry. Well, actually earlier. So that's what Jesus is saying here, is that if you truly knew who I was, then you would know who I was, basically. So verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? It's like they're blinded. Like that was the first impression I got. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Well, John goes on further in one of his epistles to reflect back on this. I found rather interesting. Really, because Jesus is really laying it on him, who their father is. And here in 1 John 3:8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. So basically, you know, when we sin, that's true. God doesn't like it, and he can't stand for it. And it's something that the devil really likes. He takes a lot of. So whenever we do sin, it really is of the devil. Even though we don't want to think that way, but continue reading here. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Is this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil? Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Although he was jealous, and that jealousy gets fermented into evil, which we can really study Cain in the whole series of things. It was Satan again interfering from the beginning. Satan's whole job was to try to undermine the ability for there ever to be come back to Eden, you know, come back to a time when God reigns supreme, and that everybody's righteous and everybody loves each other. And Satan's whole time, all the way through history, was to try to undermine that. And so that's why you see a lot of times, and you'll see in the end of this story, that it's what Jesus is realizing, is kind of pointing out that in these verses, that because you're doing the will of, whenever you sing, you're doing the will of Satan and not of God. Tough thing to keep in mind. And I know I'm guilty of it too, that we're all sinful. And that a lot of times our words don't reflect our belief in God. So it's an important lesson as we go through here. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convince me of sin, and if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words, and he therefore hear them, not because ye are not of God. And I got the thought that came to mind was over here in Luke 8:15. When it comes to hearing the word and knowing it's true, but that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That was actually a reference in my Bible, and it seemed to make sense for this particular verse. That. The other one it reminds me of, I forgot to look it up, is that one where Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and that they, when they hear me, they know they come up to me. I guess that's pretty proven that sheep herders get used to your voice, and they can always, whenever the herder comes and calls his sheep, they respond immediately. And Jesus uses that analogy to say that it's the same for us. And I think it's true that if you're of God, you really truly do know when it's God talking to you, when it's Jesus' words. And so that's what Jesus is trying to point out to these Pharisees, and that if you knew who I was, then you would know that I was sent by God. And so we go again, the Jews are going to question him. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now, I'm not even sure why they even said this. But Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. I came across these verses in Philippians that kind of appropriate for this. Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. This is talking about Jesus. It's Paul talking about Jesus. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death at the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we know that this is what Jesus is going to, part of the reason things happen the way they did is that the Jews didn't respond as they should have. And I know that on the triumphal entry, which we'll get to here in a couple of chapters, he reflects back on that, that if you had at least known who I was on this day, then things would have been different. He talks about he really came to the chosen people of Israel, and i.e. that I think the original plan was that basically the Jews were going to become born, you know, basically they knew that if Jesus was a Messiah, that basically the millennium kingdom would have started right then and there. And that now of course God has foreknowledge and knew that it wasn't going to happen, but that was the overall plan. And that the Jews themselves were actually going to save the rest of the world. And we would basically have a utopia that God had designed way back in the Garden of Eden. But that didn't happen. So here in verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And here we get into the... So verse here reminded me of a verse in Romans. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So as Jesus mentioned here in verse 51, is that if you believe on him, you'll never see death. And of course, he's talking about spiritual death. And what I just read in Romans there is Paul reflecting on what Jesus says, that so John 8:52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil, Abraham is dead. And here we go again, that they're just not getting it. And I think the whole point here to remember is that if you really do know God, I don't think you need a lot of proof to know that it's true. So anyways, the Jews here said unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and they say us, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say, that he is your God. Yet you have not known me, known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now this brings up a verse in Hebrews 11:13 that kind of reflects on this. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So basically what I'm saying here is that Jesus commented that your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. He saw it in his heart because he knew that what he knew was true, and that that all things would be fulfilled. Even if he was gone, he knew that they were going to get fulfilled. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Well, I love this. What's coming up next. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And of course, if you've ever read the first account of, and this is the verse that kind of convinces most of us, that before Jesus was born of a virgin woman, he was actually been, he had been on the earth before in human form. And it basically, any time you saw Jesus in the Old Testament, God in the Old Testament, that was actually Jesus. So in Exodus 3:14 is where Moses is up on the mountaintop and he's talking to God. And God said unto him, Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So those Jews back there in verse 58, when they heard that, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am, they knew full and well he was claiming to be the Messiah. And but instead of accepting that, as we see here in verse 59, then they took them up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I love it when he does this, and he does it quite a few more times to point him out. But especially after the resurrection, where he comes and goes as pretty much as he pleases. But I found it interesting that he was there in the Temple Mount, as I showed you, and amongst a bunch of people. And somehow they were going to stone him right then and there. And he slipped out. I can imagine he probably turned into, maybe almost became invisible and snuck out. Because it wasn't his time yet, as we've seen pointed out quite a few times. Well, that's all I had for today. And I will... end with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this I can't think of any words to say, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much for all that you teach us and all that we learn, and that you continue to show us in your word what we need to know. And I just praise you and I thank you so much for all that you showed us. And that we always look to you for our wisdom. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, I will talk to you on Wednesday. And you all have a great day. And we'll see you later.